Patience is a function of strength. It is not a function of weakness. When we are impatient, we are weak. When we are patient, we are strong. And there's no way really for us to have a godly patience without God's strength coming up in us, giving us the faith to believe, giving us the hope to hope in His promises, because that is what patience really is.
Welcome to today's edition of Faith Working, a ministry of the King's Congregation to spread the Word of God generously to all who have ears to hear. I'm Casey Christopher, your host for the next half hour, and I'm joined by Alan Burrow, pastor of the King's Congregation in Meridian, Idaho. Welcome, Alan.
It's great to be here.
Well, as we're considering 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the most famous chapters of Scripture, the love chapter, Paul gives us a list of the ways that love plays out in the Christian's life. And it's interesting that patience should occur first on the list. What are your thoughts about that, Pastor Burrow?
Well, I think it is a profound observation. I mean, if we were to ask one another as Christians, if we were to say, tell me what you think love is, what are the characteristics of love, or what are the things that love does, how many of us would put at the top of the list that love is patient? You know, maybe a lot of us would get to patience at some point, but I doubt very many of us would start out with patience as the number one thing. But Paul does. And so I think we need to pause and think about that. How inherent, how essential to love is patience?
It's a different kind of a take than what we get from our mainstream media or our primary culture. It seems that love, from that perspective, would be more about feelings. It would be more about my own rapturous experience of being in love. But that's not the way God comes at it in this particular chapter.
No, and, you know, even more profound, because we have to remember, because God is love, not just God does love, God does loving thing. No, the Bible tells us God is love. It goes as far back in the godness of God as His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence. In other words, it goes all the way back through the godness of God is His love. And so when Paul begins by saying very first thing that love is patient, he's saying very first thing, God is patient. And we need to think about that because, you know, in our culture, it's such a rapid culture, we hate waiting for anything. We want everything instantaneous. And indeed, our modern culture is obsessed with maintaining a constant velocity of life. You know, it creates an illusion almost of eternality if you can keep this velocity up, but you always have to be moving, you always have to be changing and having new experiences coming in. So we, as humans, as fallen humans, we hate to wait, but particularly today in our culture, we hate to wait. And so we need to ask ourselves this question. We all have to wait whether we want to or not. Okay, but the one person in the whole world who never needs to wait is God, the God who lives outside of time, the God who he doesn't need to wait ever, but he chooses to wait. And that's before sin came into the world. The God who needs to wait for nothing created time and chose to wait for everything. So we see that God, even before the fall, there was going to be time, man needed to grow up, the world needed to progress, it needed to be developed. The God who needs wait for nothing created time and chose to wait for everything. And we need to understand the profundity of that and let it sink in to us that even before the fall, this is who God is. He doesn't just love the end result. He loves the process. And we need to think about that and let it sink into us as Christians, because otherwise we'll never really understand who God is. We won't really understand what love is all about, and we won't be moving to where we need to move toward to be like him, to experience his life.
Well, I hope that the Holy Spirit will work on those who are listening and help to remake their understanding of what love is and reform it from an idea that is given primarily from the culture to an idea that comes from the source of love, God himself through his scripture.
Amen.
Well, today's edition of Faith Working brings us to the close of a sermon from 1 Corinthians 13 about patience. Let's listen to Pastor Burrow as he opens the Word of God.
So our patience we are supposed to have because we're supposed to be patient, because God is patient and God is love. We've already seen he's patient toward us. He's patient toward the whole world, even a sinful world. His patience toward us is a pattern for us to follow, to be like him, and in this way to show his patience and kindness to sinners. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul talks about God's patience toward him. You know, there's a lot of flashy testimonies out there in Christendom. I used to be a motorcycle gang member. I was in prison. I killed somebody. There's not many who would have a testimony that would stack up to Paul's, which is, I murdered Christians because they were Christians, and women and children, too. I murdered them because they believed in Christ. And Paul says, he talks about that, and he says that Christ was patient toward me, long-suffering toward me, that I might be an example to everyone of the long-suffering of God and the patience of God. So we see that it's not an impotent patience, because the patience of Christ toward Paul produced a huge change. It's not an impotent patience. It's not an oh-well patience. It's not an oh-well, what can you do patience. Let's just twiddle our thumbs. And we're supposed to show our patience, it tells us in the New Testament, particularly in our relationships with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 2 that we are supposed to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. And part of this means that we walk with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And then in Colossians 3, Paul says the same kind of thing. He says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. So suffering long, or patience in a godly way, as an aspect of Christian love, it refers to a willingness to bear with difficult situations, and to live them out all the way to the end of the road, knowing, and this is important, knowing that God is at work and that he uses time. And he rarely does things instantaneously. Patience, thus, we see, is not a function of weakness. There is a form of patience that's a function of weakness. But godly patience is not a function of weakness. Rather, it's a function of strength. In Colossians 1, Paul prays for the Colossian Christians that they might be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. Why? For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in light. Patience is a function of strength. It is not a function of weakness. When we are impatient, we are weak. When we are patient, we are strong. And there's no way really for us to have a godly patience without God's strength coming up in us, giving us the faith to believe, giving us the hope to hope in his promises, because that is what patience really is. Consider again the patience of the farmer. Again, Hebrews 6 and James 5. We're supposed to have the patience of the farmer. Why is a farmer patient? Why does a farmer do all the things he does in the spring and wait all the way till the fall, doing all these careful nurturing things, waiting for the harvest, watching through every stage of the development of this field and these plants? Why is the farmer patient? Because he has no faith? No, because he has faith. He believes. The farmer believes that God, a godly farmer believes God's doing it, that God is going to work over time with this ground, with this seed, with the rain that will come and will work, and that the God will bless his efforts. And what are his efforts? His efforts are all efforts of patience. So he removes rocks and he removes weeds and he gives nutrients to the soil. He does things to nurture. Those are all actions of faith. Actions of impatience would be to withhold water, to withhold nutrients and say, well, just forget it. If you're not going to hurry up and produce, I'm going to cut you off. The farmer's patience is a patience of faith, and it is a patience of hope. And it keeps on keeping on because God is the main one who is at work here. The farmer, as it were, is God's helper, God's field hand. God is the real farmer, and thus the farmer has patience. And these same passages, Hebrews 6 and James 5, when it uses the analogy of a field producing fruit and a farmer being patient, then in the same context goes back and says, now you be like the Old Testament saints. You be like the Old Testament prophets. You be like Job, and you be like Abraham. Those are the three that are mentioned. In other words, these Old Testament saints, the way they lived their lives was with the patience of a farmer. They saw themselves as a field, and they saw all the rest of God's people as a field, and they saw the world as a field. And they were patient in faith and hope because God is the great farmer with a capital F. And he is at work, and he is going to accomplish these things. And so that faith and that hope produces a patience that makes everything work. Now, one of the things we've seen that patience is connected to faith. No patience without faith. No faith, no patience. No hope, no patience. When people start losing faith, when they start losing hope, what is one of the first things they start doing? Getting impatient. Getting very, very impatient with themselves, with God, with everybody else. There's impatience. When there's faith and hope, there's patience. The other thing that the New Testament connects it with is forgiveness. Again, in Colossians 3, that we are to be long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. No forgiveness, no patience. No faith, no patience. No forgiveness, no patience. Patience produces forgiveness. And there's no way any of us can forgive apart from understanding that God is the great forgiver. He's the great farmer, and he's the great forgiver. And we can afford to forgive because he has forgiven us, and he is going to make sure that everything comes out right. And so this again comes from power within us. People who have godly patience are people who forgive one another. Sometimes, a lot of times, we're supposed to forgive one another when the other person doesn't even know they're being forgiven. Because we can't possibly count up all the sins that we, all the things that we do to one another and fail to do for one another. We can't keep a record of it. We can't keep up with them. We can't. And if we knew them all, if God embedded that knowledge in us, we couldn't in the rest of our lives get through the list of going around saying, please forgive me for when I did this, when I said this, when I didn't say this, when I didn't do this, and then, oh yeah, there's all the things that I thought that didn't actually come out. Could never get there. So we end up then back with this paradox of patience. And we see that love Christian love, God's love, it creates a certain environment. That's what it does. And this environment which love creates is the only environment in which true growth can take place. The first thing that characterizes this environment of love in which all true growth takes place is patience. It's an environment of patience. It's an environment where you're not looking over your shoulder all the time wondering whether you're going to get shot or tased because of your issues. And it may be more than half the time is probably you tasing yourself. We do that as well. Patience. Impatience destroys that environment. Impatience, as I said before, it may produce a lot of activity. It may speed things up in terms of motions of atoms, but it's all heat. It's not energy. So what does Satan do when he has somebody become a Christian and they join a church? And these Christians begin to grow. They gain knowledge. They have gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them. They have talent that the Lord has given them. And they have a zeal for God. And they have a zeal for the gospel. And they have a zeal for the kingdom of God. What are Satan's options at that point? His only option as a tactician is to try to make all these good things, which he's powerless to. He can't undo them. His only option is to try to make them ineffective. And the best way to do that is to introduce impatience into it. Impatience which kills love, which kills growth, and then kills fruit. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Remember, true patience speeds things up in a weird way that we can't fully understand. And impatience always impedes God's work and our work. So, if we have gifts, if we have knowledge, if we have talents, if we have zeal, which we do, we have to make sure that we have an environment of love, which especially is an environment of patience. It's not an environment that says, if things aren't going how I think I ought, think they ought to be, in any context, in my marriage, in my family, in my workplace, in my local church, then I'm entitled basically to just spew all over whoever the objects are to get them moving in the right way. Basically, that we're entitled to throw acid on one another to correct the situation. Well, it doesn't. You know, sometimes we as people, I'm not trying to be crass here, but sometimes we as people just puke all over one another. And we usually do it to the ones we love the most. And we do that and we go, that feels much better to us, not to the ones that it goes on. And we have to recognize we don't have the right to do that. We don't have the right to do that. We don't have the right to be impatient because we're impeding everything. We're slowing it all down when we are impatient. We need the patience of our Father who chose to be patient. It's the way He is. This is the only environment in which work is done. So let's increase our patience. Let's increase our patience. Pray about that this week in every aspect of our lives. And then let's watch the fruit and the actual work level go up. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we come to a close for today's broadcast, Pastor Allen, tell me about the way that patience is an active element of God's love.
Yes, and that's a very important point. I'm glad you brought it up, because when we hear patience, we think of passivity, we think of resignation, we think of nonchalance or not really caring. You know, and biblical patience is quite the opposite of that. It's not a resignation that says, you know, accept your fate. You know, we can't do anything about anything. All you'll do is make yourself upset and so forth. It's not that kind of a passiveness. Rather, biblical patience is a function of faith. It's a function of faith in the God who is patient, in the God who needs to wait for nothing but chooses to wait for everything. This is how God works. And so there's actually a sense of anticipation or expectation, not expectations just imposed on other people, like hurry up because I've got these expectations,
right,
but a sense of anticipation and expectation based on the God who created time and chooses to work through time and chooses to wait through things. And so it's a very strong, it's a function of strength, and it's a function of faith in what God is going to do. Because impatience, what impatience does is it's kind of like a microwave. You know, a microwave heats things by making the molecules move faster. When we are impatient with God, when we are impatient about the circumstances He places us in, when we're impatient toward one another, what we do in the Christian church is basically microwave one another. The church becomes a big microwave oven where we, through our impatience and our demands, our carnal demands, we make the molecules within ourselves, we make the emotions within ourselves, and everything heats up. All the molecules start bouncing around faster and faster and faster, but that's just heat energy. It's not productive energy resulting in actual work, productiveness, and fruit. It just heats everything up.
It's like we're cooking ourselves.
We are cooking ourselves, and that's the key. If we actually want real work, real productivity, real fruitfulness to go up, we have to bring the heat level down, which means we have to stop the microwaving. We have to stop the impatience. The patience that comes in actually brings the heat level down. It allows people to relax, to be at peace in the right kind of way. Again, it's not a complacency, but it's just that peace and that assurance, knowing that God loves us, God chooses to wait, God is with us. It's not ultimately about what we can do. It's about what God can do and what He will do through us when we become like Him, and one of the big areas is patience. So the heat comes down, the actual work goes up. I've had several occasions in my life to be around some ministries that God was really blessing, and they were just putting out an amazing amount of productive and fruitful work. And here's the paradox or the irony that I found about every one of those really, really blessed ministries.
Mm-hmm.
When you got around the people who were involved in it and the men who were doing the work, there's this most relaxed feeling. You know, incredible amount of work is coming out of this relaxed, easygoing, not this highly charged, demanding, type A type of an environment, you know, where everybody's sparking off of one another and impatient with one another. Totally the opposite. There's such a relaxed, peaceful, loving, patient feeling there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you really have to have to really have biblical work. And I think when you look at the church in Corinth and a lot of the things that Paul has dealt with, they were a very impatient church. They were an unloving church. They had a lot of demands. They were always pointing fingers at one another and demanding things. They were microwaving one another constantly.
Yeah. And that helps to explain a lot of the turmoil that continued to roll through that church.
They were always at a rolling boil.
Yeah.
But Paul is saying, you know, you got all this stuff going on, but it's all being lost to heat.
Yeah.
You know, heat is lost energy.
Right.
It's not producing anything. It's just producing the heat. And that's what he's saying to them. You know, you've got all this churning that's always going on. You're not really accomplishing anything. And if you want to accomplish anything, you got to bring the heat down.
Pastor Burrow, I remember you saying that that in the Greek rendering of this scripture, that the things that in the English we say love is patient, love is kind. We use adjectives to describe these things, but the Greek puts it more in an active verb form.
Yes, every one of these words that's an adjective in English, like love is patient, you know, in the Greek it's a verb. In other words, love, Paul says love patiences. You know, we don't have a word for that in English. And so he's emphasizing the fact that love does. Love is as love does. And so love is actively patient. It is evidencing its patience. Its patience is being exuded in what it does all the time.
Right. So maybe that will help the listeners of this program to understand that patience isn't something that happens to you. Patience isn't something that you wait for. Patience is something that you choose to do and to extend now. I'm going to patient with so-and-so. I'm going to patient with my coworker. I'm going to patient with my wife. I'm going to patient with my children. I'm going to make sure that I am exhibiting godly patience in the way that I interact.
And yes, and it's one that's a constant. It's a constant doing, and so don't forget perhaps one of the most important ones of all, that we're patient with ourselves. I mean, we can't really grow in sanctification, and this is another one of these paradoxes. We cannot grow in sanctification if we aren't patient with ourselves. And again, patience is not complacency. It's not. There is, you know, complacency kills sanctification, but patience feeds sanctification. There's no true sanctification that comes from the fact that we hate ourselves, we hate where we are, and we just demand that everything be different right now. We're microwaving ourselves. That's not sanctification. And ultimately, we won't be able to truly be patient with other people if we're not patient with ourselves.
Well, God help us as we try to take His word into our own lives and let Him change us.
Amen.
This has been Faith Working, a ministry to spread the word of God generously to all who have ears to hear. I'm Casey Christopher, your host, with Alan Burrow, pastor of the King's Congregation, a church in Meridian, Idaho. We invite you to join us again next week as we continue to see God's ministry in our lives, in our families, in our churches, and in our communities through His Word. For more information, find us online at thekingscongregation.com.